Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas and Easter, those are the two big ones, right? Christmas and Easter are the two high points, the two great festivals of our Lord Jesus Christ that we celebrate. They are the ones that are of the greatest joy. They are the ones that we most look forward to. And as such, we take time out beforehand, before those two great festivals of our Lord's birth and of our Lord's resurrection, to prepare. Time out for meditation and for reflection and for repentance. Without our Lord being born in the flesh, without our Lord rising from the grave in the flesh, then our faith is in vain and we have no hope. So it is well that we take time out before Easter in the season of Lent and before Christmas as we are doing now in the season of Advent. And as we are making our way through Advent, we are seeing that not only is our preparation, our looking ahead towards celebrating our Lord's birth, but also looking farther ahead to when our Lord will return. Again, in the flesh, but not this time in humility as he did in Bethlehem when he was born as a baby, but rather in glory. Every eye will see him. It will be the end of all things. And that is what we are shown today in the gospel reading today with our Lord's apocalyptic discourse. His speaking of the end of the world. It will happen. So it is well that we take time to reflect, to prepare for when this will happen. Now, in our congregation today, we're also observing something else, something we do every year, what we call Commitment Sunday, what some congregations call Stewardship Sunday. And it is true that there are many places in the Bible which teach us of stewardship, of how to manage our money, of how to make use of not only our money, but all the things that we own, and all the time that we have, and all of our abilities that God has given to us. But in fact, the readings for today, for the second Sunday in Advent, serve us well in teaching us stewardship. In fact, our Lord's discourse, as we have heard it in the gospel reading today, was prompted by a little stewardship sermon that he preached. It was really kind of more like an object lesson as he and his disciples were sitting there and looking at the temple. And there was a receptacle where people would bring their offerings and place them into that receptacle, the temple treasury. And so some of the people there, they wanted to know, they wanted everybody to know how good and faithful of people, of followers of God they were. And so they made a show of dropping in their coins, and you could hear the loud clanging so people could see how faithful of followers of God they were. But then there was this one widow who was poor, and she dropped in two small coins. You can almost hear the little clink in contrast to the clanging of all those other coins that the other people put in. And Jesus used this as an opportunity to teach stewardship, an object lesson. He said, "I tell you that she has put in more than all the rest." Now, how is this possible? When they were clearly putting in larger amounts of money as their offerings to God than this one woman who put in two small coins, it is because it is not the dollar amount that serves to show how you are being faithful to God in stewardship, but rather the percentage. In fact, all those people who were giving large amount of monies, They were in fact giving a very small percentage of what they had. Whereas that woman, giving a small amount, was giving a large percentage of what she owned. He said, they have given out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. But Jesus goes on to give us even fuller perspective on stewardship, as his disciples' attention is now directed to the temple itself and the stones that made up the temple. They were spectacular. They were huge. They were ornate. And they were commenting on the spectacle of this. And Jesus says, do you see all these stones of this temple? There will come a day when they will no longer be standing. He was predicting the destruction of the temple. And that actually ended up happening about 40 years later in 70 AD. But you see, as special of a place that the temple was, and it was dedicated to God. It was a place that was holy. It was nevertheless made up of things, of ordinary things. Just like this building that we are in, it is made up of ordinary materials. And there will come a day when, just like the temple, this building will no longer be standing. Because there will come a day when all the things of this earth will come to an end. And this is when Jesus launches in to the signs of the end times. We have heard some of them in our gospel reading today. And many of these things will be frightening. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and there will be roaring of the waves in the sea, and people will be fainting for fear. A lot of these things will be terrifying. And many people wonder, well, when are these things going to take place? The fact is that once Jesus ascended into heaven, after having died on the cross and risen from the grave, he ascended into heaven, and from that point on was the end times. We are already in them. In fact, you can look out into the world and already see that many people are frightened. They're scared of all the things that are going on in the world. These things are already happening. And Jesus has a very Advent, the words he speak have a very Advent sense about them, don't they? Because he is telling them to us so that we may prepare, so that we may be ready for when he returns on the last day and brings about the end of all things. All of the things that we have in this life that God has given to us, they surely are good things. After all, he has created them. When God created everything in the first place, he said, it is very good. And with God, very good is perfect. So he has given them to us so that we may enjoy them, so that we may make use of them. They are good things, but they are, after all, things in this life. And because of sin, because our humanity has fallen into sin, they will come to an end. So Jesus is speaking of the end times and of the end of all things, puts perspective on our stewardship, on what we give to God, certainly with our money, but also with our time and all the talents we have, the abilities God has given to us. When Jesus speaks of the end times and all the fear that will accompany them, he also says two remarkable things. In fact, that we, as his followers, as Christians, we do not need to fear at all. The first thing that he says is that in that day, you may stand up and lift up your head because your redemption is near. We do not need to fear, because when Christ comes again on the last day, in glory and power, and many people will fear that day, we do not need to fear, because he will come in grace and mercy toward us. And the second thing that he says, which gives us hope and which shows us that we do not need to fear, is that in that day, you will stand before the Son of Man. Think about it. When he comes in glory, we will be able to stand before him, not in glory, not in fear, but in joy, because he will be coming to take us home. And so on this day, as we're moving through Advent and we are preparing, we're preparing for our celebration of our Lord's birth at Christmas, and we are also mindful of our continual preparing throughout our lives for his return on the last day. And as we are also on this day thinking about stewardship, how do we go about this? How do we live our lives in such a way that our Lord is directing to us? Well, there are two prayers that we pray after receiving Holy Communion. The first one is the prayer that Simeon prayed when he held in his arms the baby Jesus in the temple. It's called the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen your salvation. The very baby he was holding in his arms was the salvation that Simeon was seeing. God had promised to him, Simeon, that he would not die before seeing the Messiah. And now he was holding him in his arms. He could now depart in peace. That is, Simeon was saying, I am now ready to die. I can die in peace. And we take up that prayer and we pray it ourselves, having beheld in bread and wine the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, our very salvation. And we can depart from this place in peace. But even more, we are ready to die. We are ready to depart this world in peace, whenever it is that our Lord bids us to our eternal home. And the second prayer that we pray is that we give thanks to God for the gift of this salvific gift of the body and blood of Christ. And we pray that he would strengthen us through it in faith toward him and in fervent love toward one another. We eat and drink the very body and blood of Christ, certainly for our forgiveness, which we need, but also for our strength, because we need that strength in order to have faith toward God and fervent love toward one another. That is how we live out our lives, as ones who are always preparing for when our Lord will come, so that we're ready, knowing that we can be ready in peace, in joy, knowing that the end of all things is near. And the end, it will happen at the end of days or at the end of your days, as you live waiting for Christ to return, or when he calls you home before that. You are ready. You are at peace. You can stand before God in joy forever. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.